I speak in the name of Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer. Amen. So, we are partway through a sermon series based around Richard Rohr's book, Jesus' Alternative Plan. The Beatitudes have sometimes been called the Jesus Manifesto. But it's not like politics. It's all about living lovingly towards our neighbours so that we can be righteous. Being righteous means in right relationship with people. And this applies not just to our blood relations, like Rowan. Jesus gave us and gives us the grace to live God's dream for the world now, while not rejecting the world as it is. This week, we will be looking at Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Sometimes, that will mean letting go of ways people have hurt us, and trusting God to work it all out, like God forgives us. But mercy is about much more than forgiveness, especially forgiveness grudgingly offered. Mercy is the very nature of loving kindness exhibited by God. And we bear God's image. I looked up on the Bible Hub webpage at the interlinear version of Matthew chapter 5. The notes on mercy were interesting. Within the word mercy, there is an understanding of extending compassion to those in the covenant with God. Just like God made a covenant with humanity through Jesus' death and resurrection, lifting us all into the shared eternal life of the Trinity. There is also an understanding in the word mercy of being active. It's not just a feeling or an ideal. And there is an understanding that is something we are required to do together. You don't hear me preaching about God's ask of us very often. Usually I feel a calling to tell you how good God is, just like Jesus, and how much each of us is held tenderly in God's love and cherished, and made over from glory to glory until we are all fit to live in paradise. But there are Jesus-endorsed commandments in the scriptures to love our neighbours, especially those without family, status or possessions, to show mercy to them actively. And the notes on Bible Hub explain that this means doing stuff to tackle their misery. And there are three things I want to say about this in the style of a proper Anglican sermon. Number one, a loving community. Firstly, it is our stated aim here in this church to be a loving community. What does that mean to you in terms of the call to love people in this congregation? And to love people who come to our cafe? And to love people who go to our schools? Do you know their names? Do you know their needs? Their dreams? Their favourite meal? Does tackling their misery mean that you might give quite a bit of money, so we have got enough to buy food for the cafe, or help people who come to Andy with unexpected expenses? Does it mean that you exchange telephone numbers and ring or visit people in between Sundays? Does it mean you babysit for single parents? Does it mean that you use your well-developed empathy to lean in to those particular individuals who feel down or afraid or lonely? Does it mean that you get to know people outside of your usual circle and welcome them in, invite them to a picnic or to come for dinner? What does actively working to overcome their misery mean? I really want you each to think about what you actually do. Number two, we don't have to do it all. Secondly, if we are called to do this in the scriptures collectively, and our church strapline calls us a loving community, this means we each don't have to do all of it. I like any bit in the Bible where Jesus looks at the crowds and has compassion, because they are badly taught about who God is and who they are. They are deceived by fake news and propaganda. They are cruelly governed with unjust laws and economics, because they miss their departed loved ones, and because they suffer with illness and disability, and they fear death. I'm an empath. I feel that. I see it all, even when you think your mask is really good. It's an advantage for a minister. But it's not all down to me, however much I take too much on, or worry that I don't do enough. And it's not all down to Andy, however generous his nature, however big his heart. We are called to act with mercy together to tackle the misery within our community. And where we can't reach everyone, underneath are the loving arms of God. But we cannot get away with not playing our part. And we don't have to play other people's parts too. So we have to do our bit, but not do everybody else's bit. Now I will come to my third point. Number three, God has mercy for us. You can't do this based on duty or obligation. We need to be full of God's love and affirmation and hope in order to overflow to others. Jesus wept. He felt overwhelmed with other people's feelings. Jesus got tired. He napped in the boat. He sat by the well and drank water. And Jesus went off by himself to have times of companionship and refreshing with Father God. And we who love others actively to relieve their misery need topping up ourselves. So my points again. One, we are commanded by Jesus to actively love people in our community to overcome their misery. So what are you doing to play your part? Two, we do it together and no one is supposed to do other people's share. If you are doing other people's share, stop it. You are not God and you are not built to be responsible for the whole world. Three, get topped up by God. Spend time allowing God to love you. Have time for hobbies and downtime, and spend that time with God. And leave time in between things so that God can get a word in. And I'm preaching this to myself as much as anyone, because sometimes I teeter on the edge of overwhelm. So let's encourage each other in good works and in knowing when to let go and let God. Amen.